Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
Kevin Delp,
and Jonah Dew
in the house.
Bringing you another fantastic episode full of board gaming fun, life adventure stories, maybe some new games that we've been playing, and today's episode especially, we're going to talk about our recap on the event, the Atom Con event? What are they calling that thing these days? Sarah Melissa just got back from four days? How long are you guys out there?
5 days.
5 days?
If you count
our
half-travel days.
Their half-travel days counted. In St. Louis area, where were you guys at? Is there a name for this
town? The middle of Missouri.
The middle of nowhere, Missouri. Playing board games at the Gamer Ranch, an event that we'll be talking about later on in the episode, and I'm sure you'll be excited to hear some of their tales and to learn about some of the games that they had an opportunity to play. But before we jump into that, why don't we talk about some of the games that we've been playing most recently? What's some of the stuff that you guys have gotten to the table in the past week or so?
Well, I got to play Mind Maps this evening with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
That was a good time.
It's a party game that you can pair cards to other cards, and they have different objects on it. I'm pretty sure it's meant to just be a lot of laughs because there were a lot of arguments and bizarre things said. Like there's like a matrix that you're trying to get people to work in, and one of our cards was better to have on a picnic and harder to chew, but the control word was mummy. So there were a lot of arguments over whether we thought it'd be easier to chew a mummy or a faux fur rug. It was bizarre. There were a lot of laughs over that one.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed the aesthetic of it on the table. It's a, what's the official kind of X and Y axis curve? Mm-hmm. What are those charts called?
Is it an official? Curve?
Graph.
No.
Graph. Just a graph.
It's just graph.
And you are putting all your tokens out on it, and then, yeah, you're kind of comparing your placement to everybody else's and then trying to guess what they are, and it was a good time. I think we're going to have a playthrough of that coming up on our channel. Probably by the time this is live, it'll already be on our channel. If you want to see us being goofy and having fun and saying lots of crazy stuff, you should definitely check that one out. I enjoyed that one.
We recently played through the whole Lord of the Rings adventure book game. Don't you and Ryan have that, Katie?
We were borrowing it.
You borrowed the adventure book?
Yeah.
Game? Did you play through any of the scenarios, maybe?
We did. I think the Estrellas were letting us use some.
Okay.
And I think we did a couple,
okay,
but we didn't finish it out.
We went through the whole book. We went from the beginning where Frodo and Gandalf were in the Shire, and then all the way to the end where they threw the ring in the mountain.
In Mordor?
Mordor, yeah.
I just came from Mordor.
Yeah, tell us about that, Jack.
I didn't see it. Go ahead, Melissa. I don't know which mountain was Mordor.
Okay.
I was going to say this is the Ravensburger one,
yes,
right? Because there's a couple Lord of the Rings adventure games.
That's why I said adventure
right
book
now.
Game, okay, is what I said.
So yeah. Just in case people didn't know which one.
I'd like to hear about Mordor.
I didn't know which mountain was Mordor, but I did go to a couple cool spots in New Zealand that were absolutely in the movies. I learned lots about the movies because I didn't know very much. So when you don't know very much, you can learn things pretty quickly. Did you guys know that all three movies were shot at the same time?
I think I did know that.
Yes.
Okay, you did know that? I met a gentleman. He was a bus driver now, but he was in the second movie. His name was in the credits.
Hey.
And I said, "What's your name?" And he said, "With how many people in the credits, you're going to be looking for a while." And then laughed and didn't tell me.
He left you hanging.
Did he tell you
I'm
going to
start
did?
Telling people I'm in the movie
He
credits.
Did tell us what he did. He was in a battle scene in the second movie.
Helm's Deep.
At Helm's Deep.
Bam.
And he yes.
Sounded real confident.
And then he was in a couple more scenes. And then hold on, there's the coolest part of the whole thing that I saw a chair that they used to make regular people look like hobbits. So it was like a big chair. Yeah. Chantel took a picture in it. I'll show you if you want. But the best part was, okay, in the second movie, I believe, there's a, forgive me, I've only seen them like once a while back. I did try to watch them on the plane. They didn't have them. So thanks, American Airlines. Okay. So there was a vast openness, and there's a tower in the second movie.
Okay.
Help me, guys.
Isengard.
Isengard. Okay. Isengard has mountains in the background.
Yes.
I was at those mountains. So like they CG'd like the vast, it's a river.
That's where the Ents come to take over.
It's a river. So I'm in a boat on the river They stop on purpose and go, this is the shot. These are the mountains.
That's cool.
It's just a river. It's always been a river. They CGI'd the river out or whatever. And that was fun.
That's
so anyway,
cool.
That
very
counts.
Cool. Yeah. Take one more minute to tell us your adventure tales. You were there on a work trip, and you guys got to do some bungee jumping.
We did.
Which I learned from you that bungee jumping was invented in New Zealand.
Bungee jumping is invented by a man by the name of A.J. Hackett.
You mean his last name is not Bungee?
It's not. And he invented it in like 1988. Bungee jumping is not old.
Oh, I had no idea that it's that new.
Who thought about this, and why are they?
His name
So here's what happened. The people that lived in New Zealand before Captain Cook came and colonized.
Yeah.
I didn't want to use a politically incorrect term. No, sorry,
you can
everybody.
Use colonized.
Okay, just checking. The people who lived there were Maori people, M-A-O-R-I.
Maori?
Maori people, right? And they used to bungee with like vines to prove you were a man. That was like the coming of age thing. And so AJ Hackett saw them do it one time and was like, yep, that's awesome.
He made
the bungee rope, jumped off a bridge in New Zealand, the same bridge I jumped off, which is fun, but then wanted to launch bungee jumping to the world. So flew to France and jumped off the Eiffel Tower, actually. Got arrested, but they didn't know what to charge him with because nothing happened. He just kind of bounced. And then bungee jumping was a thing after that.
Yep. That's a brilliant idea. I should invent something. And then do it at the Eiffel Tower. Famous.
Mm-hmm. And then so anyway, we jumped off that bridge. Chantel and I both did it. It was very scary, but fun at the same time.
You were the first one of the party to go, right?
I was third or fourth.
Oh, okay.
I tried to be first because I thought if people say it's scary, I'm definitely not doing it. So I tried to be first, but I was like third or fourth. Chantel actually went in front of me. So I'm getting strapped in because, you know, they have to tie your legs and put the bungee in and stuff like that. And Chantel's jumping like to the left of me on the plank, basically. You basically walk the plank and jump off. It's a little scary. And so I can't see, but like her first 10 feet of her jump, we're jumping from about 100 and... I'm no good at math, like 130, 140 feet. But I hear her jump, right? Because she's screaming, right? So I hear her jump and I'm like, oh no. And then I got up, my turn to jump. The lady's like, okay, you can jump on 0, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go ahead. And I'm like, I'm very scared. But my wife is now on the ground looking up. Like, I would have opted out. Like, I'm not going to do it. But I was like, oh no, my wife just jumped off this bridge in front of me. I have to jump off this bridge. And it was terrible. But other than that, that was my highlight adventure.
I've never done it. My theory was that you would be like 2 inches taller when you're done.
No pull on the back, no pull on the ankles, no jolts, no whip at the bottom, none of that.
And you actually did the water touch, right?
I did. I touched the water. I went about belly button deep in the water.
Whoa.
And came out.
Could you tell? Like, would you...
Couldn't tell. Fast.
So fast.
In and out.
But
fast.
You were wet, so you knew what happened.
Yes, I was wet.
You looked back and said, I did go in the water.
Yeah. I came out wet. My head. And then I'm upside down, like bobbing, and I'm like, I'm wet.
You're
water
like,
is
I don't remember being baptized, but I got wet.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was my fun adventure in New Zealand. We did lots of other fun stuff, but that was my Lord of the Rings moment. We sat in a chair. We saw the cliffs of...
Not more.
Where was it?
That's Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Where you just told me, the tower. What is that
Isengard?
Word? Isengard.
Yeah.
And saw some mountains.
Yep.
Sounds like a great time. I'm sure we got some more games to talk about, but why don't we take a break for a minute and give a shout out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Chaosium Games. They have their first board game on crowdfunding now, Horror on the Orient Express, and this is part of the Call of Cthulhu world. This is a cooperative game where you're on a train in the Dreamlands. There are a bunch of passengers on the train and some suspects. Some of them are cultists. Some of them are not. It's your job to figure out which ones are the cultists and reach the end of the train tracks before you get overrun by monsters, destroyed by a vampire, have rituals going on, have your essence all drained. There are basically many, many, many ways to lose this game and one way to win. So there's going to be some bag building in this game. Well, pulling things out of a bag. There's going to be action selection. You can upgrade some of your powers in the game. Your actions can get more powerful. You can talk to passengers. There's a deduction aspect where you're flipping over tokens and trying to figure out which ones are the cultists. And should I make this person's desires happen? Should I fulfill them? If they're a regular person, it'll be really good for you. If they're a cultist, bad things will happen. So you're kind of deciding, how much information do you need? Or do you want to know everything before you make any sort of accusations and try to throw people off trains and that sort of thing?
There's a lot going on in this game, and there's a lot of components in the game, too. The train itself is three-dimensional.
I was going to say, I got a chance to preview this at Origins, I think. And yeah, it's kind of like Colt Express or whatever, like where it's a three-dimensional train on the table with pieces in it. It's got a crazy table presence. It's massive.
You're like moving curtains, closing them, opening them.
Oh, I forgot about that, because you can see like what's coming in the windows and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, and Melissa hasn't said this, but we are doing a playthrough on our channel coming up, I believe, April 18th, we'll have a live playthrough of Horror on the Orient Express.
Spoiler, we have yet to actually win the game.
We have played multiple times.
That's a prophecy when you just assume that you're going to
win. We've lost many different ways, though.
Oh. Yeah.
So we've gotten better at some aspects.
Maybe. There we go.
We'll find out. Tune in. Maybe you'll be the lucky viewer that sees us win in... This is what's coming up soon. So we could talk about some other games we've been playing, although why don't we go ahead and just jump into kind of the Atom recap event. Jonah and I can maybe give a 2-second preview of it because we got to attend this last year. We did talk about this maybe on our last episode just a little bit as well. And it's an event that's sponsored by Inside Up Games, Eagle Griffin Games, and Queen Games. And the owners of those three companies, I don't know if the owners, but the American representatives, do they own that? Throw this event. They hosted it last year for the first time, and Jonah and I got to go and have a really great time. They're trying to kind of diversify the audience that they invite to this semi-exclusive event, and so they told me and Jonah not to come back.
They did.
You were banned.
I don't think I was banned. I think they like me.
They
liked
us so much.
It was so fun, and I was so sick. So that wasn't great. But the games were so fun. We played lots of them. From what I remember, it was just game after game after game after game after game. And then, surprise, it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, well, let's just do one more.
And I am curious
what
you guys' experience was. Last year, Vital Lacerda was there. And so the games that we were playing, Jonah's right, it was game after game after game. But actually, one day I played games for like 14
and
hours
you only
straight.
Played two games.
Yeah. And it was like 2.5 games because they were super heavy Vital games. And it was great. I actually did really enjoy it. But I'm curious, what were the experiences? Did you guys get to see new stuff? Who were some of the guests and the other people there? Give us the rundown. Paint the picture for us.
So some of the guests included David Waybright from Man vs. Meeple.
And Jeremy Howard.
Also from Man vs. Meeple. Danielle Standring has her own channel on TikTok. Let's see. Derek and Lizzie Funkhauser from Board Game Spotlight on Facebook.
Jenna from Board Game Garden.
Board Game Garden. There was Nelson from Nelson All Over.
Alex from Board Game Co.
And Ilya and...
Tyler.
Tyler there.
And here's where you're going to apologize for all the people who forgot.
No, I'm trying to do this off the top of my head. I think that we're really close. They've got a channel,
Corvi or something like that is their channel.
Yeah.
JT, he does stuff with Sam Healy with Flip Side of Board Games.
Mm-hmm. Like a good crew. I think that's about it. Brandon Nall from Blue Pig Pink Pig. He's also an employee of Inside Up Games. And then there were several others who were there representing the companies. Connor with Inside Up and Chris with Inside Up and Travis Reynolds with Queen and James and Dave are both with Queen, I believe. And then Jason from Eagle Griffin. Randall was supposed to be there from Eagle Griffin.
Oh, no.
And the day before, he had something come up. And so Jason graciously drove from Wichita to get the, with one day notice.
Wow.
So he was like, I'm really sorry. I don't know if Randall had great stuff planned. But he jumped right in. It was fantastic. We did do a few things that weren't necessarily straight up board games. We did Mall Night Long, which was a game show one evening. So we split up into teams. We also did a Great British Bake Off hosted by Danielle. And that was a interesting event because we didn't have a whole lot of prep or planning. We all just kind of threw together some type of dessert. I attempted the Squid Games Dalgona cookies and major fail. I wasn't used to a gas stove and the type of pans they had. And so I was having a almost impossible time making them. David Waybright almost entirely burnt his dish.
But he ended up winning.
He was like, I'm just going to randomly check it. It's got five more minutes. Opens the oven and there's already like burnt crispy edges. Like whipping it out of the oven, picking off all the burnt stuff. He made his mother's strawberry shortcake biscuits. And then he ended up winning the event. So Travis jumped in and made some lemon cookies. Danielle made the most amazing chocolate chip cookies with flaky sea salt. Ilya decided to make his really good shortbread cookies. And you can, he usually does a like jam thumbprint cookies. We didn't have any jam. So I decided to use gummy bears. It was a little interesting. And he actually, Tyler was one of the judges. And like, they didn't know who made what. And so they're like, this is so bad. I just can't, I had such a hard time eating it. Yes. So
it was
kind of funny.
It ranked lower than
the sabotage,
the punk dish.
Yes. So we decided to throw in one wild card and we decided to use anything we could find in the fridge. So we took Bisquick and then we added chopped pickles and hot dogs.
Ugh.
And we used hazelnut coffee creamer as the liquid.
Gross.
There was a grape in there.
And then we put a fresh grape in the middle and Danielle and I baked it, and then we realized when we were trying to plate it, it wasn't done. So we just threw the whole plate in the microwave to finish it off, which it did. But we did make a nice lemon glaze with zest, so it looked really appetizing, and then it wasn't. So it was thank you to our judges one more time for putting up with the sabotage dish. But because of the judging categories, it actually got fourth.
Oh, wow. Fourth.
They had some interesting categories to rate things.
Help you guys out. All right, so now that we're hungry, give us a little taste for some of the games that you guys got to play.
Vital was not there this year. So I think Inventions was the only Lacerda that went out on the table.
I played one. I got to play the prototype of House of Fado, which was excellent. It's a game based on the musicians in restaurants, fine dining. And so you run a little restaurant and you've got to hire musicians to come in. And the patrons that visit your restaurant will applause at the end of the night. And so you get cash based on their praise of your the instrument, their instrumentalists and vocalists. And then you can decide to hire better or different ones. So you will kick them out to the street where they can be hired by somebody else, or you can get victory points based on where they rank and stuff like that. So, and then you're also, you can gain some extra tokens based on the compositions that your instrumentalists create. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was an hour game, which is, Vital has worked on kind of boiling down some of the core mechanics from several of his games and creating new things and making them much shorter experiences. So it was a very good mid-weight game.
I'm trying to think. I think I played three of the Queen games over the weekend. I played Cusco, which I really enjoyed. I believe it's a re-implementation of Bora Bora. And it's a dice action selection game where you roll three dice and then you place them on the different actions. The higher the value, usually the better the action is going to be. But now any dice that go into that space need to be lower than the dice that are already there. And in the first round, Jeremy Howard rolled three ones. So some those actions were getting locked down right away. You're traveling along paths, you're getting workers for your area, you're collecting these feathers for a headdress. It's a very beautiful game. Lots of personal goals, end game scoring goals. There's a temple track where you can go up and try to have majority. Lots of things going on. I really enjoyed trying out different things. I was trailing for most of the game and didn't even go up to the temple, but I had a bunch of end game scoring stuff, so got up to second place by trying different things than some of the other players. That was Cusco. Sarah and I both played Daba Walla.
Yes. So this one is based off of the food service industry in Mumbai, where they stack all of the little containers of food in carts to haul them around. And so you, it's a tile laying game. It's got an interesting rondel, how you select the tiles and then you add them to your little cart. And you'll also gain a card. The card that tells you which tile you're going to take has a scoring mechanism at the bottom. So at the end, you'll select one of those scoring mechanisms and it'll just say go up on this track, and that's how many that color is worth, and then you'll score. So everybody's going to place one of those cards out at the end to vote on how scoring's going to go, and then you're hoping, although I think I would play a little differently than I did, or use a different strategy than I did the first time, but yeah, they're hoping this one could be a Spiel nominee. It's got, it's easy play because you're just selecting a tile and placing it. And there's some ways to get some bonus if you put together some of the little pieces to make a cup of chai sitting in between the food dishes. And those all have some bonus fun things that you can do. So, it was good.
I enjoyed that
pretty artwork.
To the you're going to score each level separately. So on level four, I might have green and yellow tiles, and Sarah might have blue and red. And we're playing different cards to influence the scoring of those colors. So sometimes if you can have the same colors as other people, they'll work together to bump that score up. Mm-hmm. And then Vienna was the other one. Did you play that one also, Sarah?
I did get to play Vienna. I played a three-player game. Oh, the other person I forgot to mention, Chris Whitpan, was there also. He was our personal chef for the weekend, which was amazing. We'll get back to that in a minute. So back to Vienna. This game, you are using tokens to place out a person on the board, and they're different locations, and you... that are, it's like, I'm trying to think of what they were. It's almost like an embassy. I don't know that's what it was.
Oh, but they had different countries.
So there's different country
flags
on all. So it's just a giant map of interlocking places. And then there's a item in between that you can pick up if you have all of the adjoining places next to it. So there might be something that's worth 3 points. It's got three buildings surrounding it, so you have to be on all of those to be able to collect it. So on your turn, or it's simultaneous at the beginning, we're all going to select cards that will influence one of our actions possibly, and that'll go get tucked under your board, and it can stay there as long as you want it to, but you're going to have to replace one of those slots every turn. So it's your choice. And then one, you'll just gain an item each round. Then those are used to pay to go out on the board. You'll take your actions, and then you're going to influence one of the tracks for those items that you're picking up. So the ones that you have to be surrounding on those tiles. So
yeah, it's kind of like programming. You have a hand of maybe four cards and you're selecting three of them. Each card has all of those items, yes, all of those sections on it. So you're just
picking
one to put in which slot. Yeah. And the slot you put it in determines what part of the card you activate.
Yep. So yeah, that one was enjoyable.
Yeah, I focused on the missions and not the tiles, and then got killed in the end game because I didn't have the tiles for the scoring.
I tried to chain, since Melissa gave me that little bit of advice because I played after her, I tried to chain both of those together. So I was trying to maximize, I'm going to get an end game goal because you had to be in the city to pick it up. And so I tried to chain it so that the end game goals that were out and available were places I was already wanting to go to. And I was already almost fulfilling them from what I already had. So it worked out pretty good.
I thought Melissa was going to say, I focused on playing pinball.
Yes.
Okay. So one of the reasons I agreed to go to the event is because the Gamers Ranch has a room with several pinball machines. There was probably maybe about six or so. I'll have to look at my pictures. And I do love pinball. If you've been listening to our channel for a while, you know that I love going to Southern Fried Gaming and playing the pinball. And my goal for the weekend was try to get my initials on each of the pinball machines. I accomplished that with an asterisk. So I got high scores on, and I'm going to try to remember them from left to right. It was Godzilla, then the Mandalorian, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I did not get a high score on Jurassic Park. But then I did on Spider-Man and Iron Man. But I did get some of the honorable mention achievements on Jurassic Park. So my initials are still there, sort of.
Will they last a full year?
Probably not.
Who's going next time? So you guys got a little bit of a preview last year when we went. What were some of the, were there any surprises or aha moments when you got there? Like, was it exactly what you thought it was going to be? Or was it like, oh, this is crazy. They're making us sleep on bunk beds till 5 a.m. in the morning.
I have my own bed. I'm not sure what bunk beds you slept on, but it was great.
Sarah and I shared a room, so I stayed up late too because there was no point in going to bed early.
Yeah, so it was like 4 a.m. every night, which was a little late for the night before we all had to get up really early to get our flights in St. Louis. We did do some fun party games late at night. Some of the other games I got to the table were Terminus from Inside Up. We also did a huge group play test of Vamp Camp or Shank or whatever. There's not a good working name yet. They're still deciding on that, but the gameplay is the same. So that was enjoyable as a huge group game.
It's kind of a social deduction game with three teams.
With three teams. So that one was good. And then we were able to provide lots of feedback. I also got to play test a game for Inside Up where they were trying to decide whether or not they were going to sign it. So we played through a number of rounds of a trick-taking game, and they will hopefully be having a Kickstarter at some point with some trick-taking games. And then Melissa and I got to play Botany, which is a new game from a new publisher. Jeremy Howard brought that one, and it was an interesting route building or pick up and deliver.
More of a pick up and deliver.
Pick up and deliver. You were trying to go to specific locations on the map building. This was set like in the, I don't know, 1800s. You were going out in search of plant life so that you could bring it back for research in your conservatory in London. So think some of those historic, very colorful drawings of almost like Audubon style drawings of plants. And then you're moving around the board as you, most of your actions. The one catch was you had to do an event card every turn. Most of them were bad. And so you had to be able to mitigate whatever was coming, which you didn't know what it was. And Melissa is a dirty little thief and kept stealing my money the whole game.
I like every event, it would be like, if you succeed this role, steal money from another player. Or sometimes or be like, the player on
Jeremy
your left.
Jeremy wouldn't have any or... It just worked out that Melissa just kept stealing my money.
We had a running joke about Sarah was not a very good botanist because yes. she missed some roles about like writing an autobiography, yes, but so. It was full of lies. And so I was going and stealing her money. And it created some outside of the game stories that yes. we had fun with. But it was a little bit on the lighter side yes. and had quite a bit of randomness, although you could get items and crew and pets to help you with those roles.
Speaking of story, I heard the word exactly was a word of retreat. Exactly. What does that mean?
So, well, one of the goals of the retreat, not only was it to learn the games of the publishers, but it's also for different content creators to get together and collaborate and help each other. And so quite a few of us cover the same games. Mm-hmm. And it came up in conversation that almost all of us had been playing a certain game incorrectly. Ooh. Aqua from
Which
the
is
op.
A very simple game.
Yeah, the tile laying game.
Tile laying game. We've actually done a playthrough of it already.
Did we get it right?
Nope.
Good news.
We
good news though. I was planning to film my review mm-hmm. before Adam, but we left the game here because we were going to talk about it on Saturday Morning Board Game Show. So now I can go change my review before I film it.
And it was all because the designer or whoever helped with the rules did not use the right definition of exactly.
Yeah.
Which
what do you think exactly means?
I'm feeling like it's 100% locked in, literal.
Okay, so when you put exactly three of the same color together...
To make that, the hexagon shape.
To make a hexagon shape, do you think you can have more than?
I would say no.
No, probably exactly
three. Like exactly three, right? Right. Like, so if there's more than three, that's not exactly three, right?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah, that's not what he meant by exactly.
Oh, okay.
So we were playing on super expert hard mode.
Oh, nice. And I was wondering, like... Boy, my score is just kind of low. This is a kind of difficult game for the op. This is like a family weight game. Mm-hmm. It would definitely be a family weight game if you didn't use the rule set that we did. It would be way easier because you would have double the opportunities to play scoring yeah. tiles.
Yeah.
Because we were limiting ourselves. So half or so of the tiles in the deck have... two of the same color on
that can't make a hex,
and it will not make an exactly three hex.
No, wait, make a different word.
Exactly.
Exactly.
How do we determine? I need the story now. Was the designer there?
So, I'll give names. Alex Radcliffe from Board Game Co. Yeah. made a review, and he liked the game, but he kind of had that critique or this is really hard because the double tiles can't be used to make animals and all of that. And I believe the designer responded to his video and basically...
Of course you can.
And now there's a BGG thread about
which is hilarious
that.
Because someone said to him, well, what are we going to do about it? And supposedly, this is what I'm hearing, is they're not going to do anything about it because most people don't play it that way.
No. Next time they reprint the rules or do something, they'll try to find more wording.
But I thought you said...
No, but they said but they don't think it's... Like that big of an issue because most people will play.
Everyone else is doing it.
It was 5-1 on the playing the rules that way.
So 15% of the people are playing it correctly, which means most.
Maybe we like a challenge. We're ready for it.
Right.
Well, this might save us. Rodney Smith showed an example in his video that had it the way that the rules do not show an example that you can do it the way that
crazy.
The designer intended.
So if you watch rules videos,
then you'll be okay.
The problem with this game is though it's easy, so people probably aren't watching how to play.
It's like
from
lay
Rodney.
A tile, play a thing. It's not that hard.
Super funny.
Isn't that hilarious?
It absolutely sounds like something I would do. I'd be like, no, it's fine. They'll understand.
But it should say like at least three, not exactly three.
Right. Yeah. For sure. That's super funny.
But
is it a translation? It's not like it. Yeah. It's English designers. Yeah.
So anyway, so that was us collaborating and talking together and
we did
commiserating.
Commiserating. Yes. The struggles of being a content creator and trying to interpret the rules correctly.
All right. One last story. We need to hear about Chef Chris.
Oh, Chef Chris. So Chris Whitpan is head of board games for all the PAX events. So, which is decently large role. He is also a chef and made the most amazing food all weekend. So big props to him.
Cool.
We had pulled pork with mango slaw.
That they smoked.
We cool. had...
smash burgers, I heard.
We had smash burgers with bacon jam.
What I heard was like you had... Like he was making snacks. Like
he would, in the afternoon, like, oh, I'll just whip something up here in a few minutes. And he made his wife's apple cinnamon little mini loaf cakes, and he made some bourbon Madeleine cookies that were amazing. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh yeah, I'll just whip something up in 10 minutes. And
cool.
we had, let's see.
Chicken Parmesan.
That's probably some of the best chicken Parmesan, all from scratch. We had,
beef tenderloin
fillets with a béarnaise sauce and cool. au gratin potatoes from scratch. It was great.
So you would recommend Ryan and Katie going next year?
I would like to go again next year.
There's going to be some arm wrestling. We saw a bald eagle.
Oh yes. We so this is a great story.
Did you play disc golf?
I ran out of time. Mm-hmm. We ended up filming right. content like we were supposed to do while we were there mm-hmm. instead of playing disc golf. Mm-hmm. The first day we had a meeting and we decided to go outside and we're just talking about the publishers and just info about them and projects they're working on and such. And right when Connor is about to start talking about Inside Up Games, Connor's from Canada. This large bald eagle majestically flies right over the group. And he's like, you've got to be kidding me. Come to the United States. And this is how I get treated.
It should be. That's amazing.
So it was a kind of fun moment while we were there.
But yes, lots of games, lots of camaraderie, big group games. It was a great time and made lots of friendships, got to know people better and spend more time with friends we already had.
Yeah. I think my favorite moment was David Waybright trying to teach you to several of us. And Connor's comment was, these rules sound like my 10-year-old just made up whatever he wanted, which is kind of, if you are familiar with Teach You, that's basically what happens. And we all lost it when he got to the point where when you play the Mahjong tile card, you get to make a wish. What? What is going on? You get to make a wish. Like, what kind of wish? She's like, no. It has to be like a card in the deck. And we're like, oh. I was like, this sounds ridiculous. I thought I knew what Teach You was. And here we are talking about making wishes in games.
Well, glad that all your wishes came true. Is that a great segue? Adam, it has been a great event the last years that we went, and it sounds like another great event this time that you guys got to experience. And we're appreciative to the publishers who invited us out and gave opportunities to see some of the cool stuff that they're working on and really just have a great weekend enjoying this cool hobby of ours. If you haven't tuned in recently to our YouTube channel, be sure to check it out. We've got a Saturday morning board game show that will have just gone live by the time this episode drops.
And we're going to have some content from Adam on it.
Oh, yeah. So go check that out. You get to see some of the interviews that they did while at the show.
As long as Will edits it together.
Well, hopefully we'll have time to do that. And we'd love to have you over there watching some of our videos. We play on Thursday nights, I think all this month. You can find us Thursday nights on YouTube. So come join us as we play some games together and have a bunch of fun. And until then, keep on listening, playing games, having fun. See you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.